Today's episode confronts a deeply painful story. We'll be discussing the fatal shooting of Sonya Massey, a 36-year-old Black woman, by a Sangamon County deputy in Springfield, Illinois, on July 6, 2024. This is hard material. It involves violence against a Black woman in crisis. I want to acknowledge from the outset that this may be triggering, especially for listeners in the Black community. The details are distressing. There's gunfire, threats, and loss of life. But we must face these truths if we're to seek accountability. We do this not to sensationalize, but to demand justice and change. Please take care while you're listening to this episode.
Shocking body camera video released today shows the deadly police shooting of Sonya Massey. The mother of two called 911 just before 1 a.m. because of a possible prowler, only to be shot by a deputy inside her own Illinois home. Now, former deputy faces three counts of first.
Sonya Massey was more than a headline. She was a mother of two young children. Her teen son Malachi and daughter Summer were left without their mom. And her own mother, Donna, has been vocal in demanding justice. Sonya was known by family and friends as loving, faithful, and strong. In fact, one rally organizer noted that many mourners wore purple, Sonya's favorite color, in her honor. Despite the pride and love her community had for her, Sonya had struggled with mental health challenges. Her family told reporters she was battling paranoid schizophrenia and having severe episodes. In the days before the shooting, they repeatedly called for help. Dispatch records show that law enforcement was told she was in a mental health crisis. In one recorded call on July 5th, Sonya's mother pleaded with 911 operators. Her daughter was having a mental breakdown, but was not dangerous. Sonya even went to a hospital seeking help the day before her death. The family has emphasized Sonya needed support and care that week, not a deadly confrontation with police. Even as Sonya lived with her mental illness, she was cherished as a devoted mother and caring presence. Her struggles don't erase her humanity. She was someone's daughter, someone's sister, and above all, someone's mom.
James Wilburn is Massey's father.
I'm heartbroken. I just don't know what to say.
What's the hardest part about this for you?
I think the last words that my daughter said to me was, "Daddy, I love you." And to know and realize that I won't see her again. I can't talk to her again. I can't touch her.
Throughout this episode, I will try to keep Sonya's dignity and legacy at the forefront. I acknowledge that her children might be listening, and I remember her as more than a victim, as a person who mattered. The tragedy unfolded in the early hours of July 6, 2024. Sonya Massey had called 911 from her home, concerned that someone, a possible prowler, was outside. Deputies Sean Grayson and Dawson Farley from the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office arrived around 1:20 a.m. They searched Sonya's yard and found nothing unusual. They then knocked on Sonya's front door. After a few minutes, she opened it. Body cam video, later released by prosecutors, shows Sonya standing just inside.
Taking you so long to answer the door.
Oh, I was trying to put on some clothes, sir. I'm sorry.
You doing all right mentally?
Yes.
Sure?
My medicine and stuff.
All right. Okay.
I love y'all. Thank y'all.
The deputies told her they hadn't found anyone outside. Now inside, they asked to see her identification, and Sonya began rummaging through her wallet. Meanwhile, Deputy Farley went around the side of the house to jot down a license plate of a car in the driveway, a car Sonya said wasn't even hers. Inside, Deputy Grayson noticed a pot of boiling water on Sonya's stove and suggested she check on it to prevent a fire. Sonya picked up the pot of water and carried it toward the kitchen sink. At that moment, Sonya asks, "Why are you moving?" To which Deputy Grayson acted as though he were afraid of her boiling water. And next, to me, what sounded like a joke, Sonya said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Grayson said, "What?" And she said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Deputy Grayson became agitated. He shouted obscenities, pointed a gun at her, and yelled,
"You better fucking not, I swear to God, I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face."
"You better fucking not, I swear to God, I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face." Sonya immediately apologized for whatever frightened him. She dropped behind the kitchen counter and lifted her hands as if surrendering. According to prosecutors, she even apologized again, covering her face with a dish towel or oven mitt. But in those seconds, Grayson stepped forward with his pistol drawn. "Okay, I'm sorry," Sonya had said. Then Grayson fired three shots at Sonya's chest and head. One bullet struck her just below the eye, killing her instantly. Sonya's final words were, "I'm sorry." It was a horrific end to an encounter that had begun with her calling for help. Deputy Farley immediately radioed that shots were fired. He ran for his medical kit to try to help, but Grayson coldly said, "She's done. That's a headshot."
Bring EMS now. We got a headshot wound to the female. Headshot wound to the female. 1078. Fuck.
I was on. I'm gonna go get my kit.
No, headshot, dude. She's done. You can go get it, but that's a headshot. God damn it.
And then he threw a towel on her wound and even tossed aside the medical kit when Farley applied pressure. Sonia Massey was pronounced dead shortly afterwards at St. John's Hospital. The community was obviously outraged. Within days, Sangamon County Sheriff Jack Campbell fired Deputy Grayson. The Illinois State Police took over the investigation, completing it within 10 days. On July 17, 2024, just 11 days after the shooting, a grand jury indicted Grayson on 5 counts. 3 counts of first-degree murder, plus aggravated battery with a firearm and official misconduct. He was booked into jail and held without bail. Grayson pleaded not guilty. His lawyers claimed he had acted in self-defense, fearing Sonia would throw boiling water at him. Prosecutors had a very different view. Sangamon County State's Attorney John Millhiser said Grayson's own actions escalated the threat, telling jurors later that Grayson let his emotions dictate the outcome. Farley, the partner on the scene, even testified for the prosecution. On the stand, he said, "She never did anything that made me think she was a threat." Because of intense media coverage, the case was moved about 75 miles north to Peoria. The 7-day trial began on October 22, 2025. Jurors heard and saw heartbreaking video evidence, the body cam footage in which Grayson trained a gun on her. On October 29, 2025, the verdict came in. The jury acquitted Grayson of first-degree murder, but found him guilty of the lesser charge of second-degree murder. The decision stunned Sonia's supporters. As one relative put it, "You get an officer that says he's going to shoot you in the face, and then he shoots you in the face, and you only get second degree?" The justice system did exactly what it's designed to do today. It's not meant for us. After the verdict, Sonia's family issued statements demanding justice.
"Today is a painful day for me and people who look like me, especially black females. As I said in Chicago, we can't call the police and feel safe in our own homes. That's what Sonia did. She called for help, you all.
Yes.
And she was murdered in her own home. This verdict was long overdue. It is not the verdict that we wanted. But he will pay. God will provide. Cancer didn't strike his body just to strike his body. He will pay. Sonia's family continues to suffer. Her children continue to suffer. And people say, hey, the kids got $10 million. What the heck is $10 million when you don't have your mama?
Exactly.
They will give back the $10 million to have Sonia back. When we give it back?
Yeah.
Say her name.
Sonia Massey.
Say her name.
Sonia Massey.
Say her name.
Sonia Massey.
You know what we need to do back in Sangamon County? The home of the 1908 race riots.
Right.
The home where President Obama announced that he was running for president.
Yes.
We have to continue to fight to change the laws. Because there's no justice. It's just us.
All right. Yes.
And we are tired of standing alone. And we thank our white brothers and sisters and everybody else for coming out and protesting with us.
Yes.
But had the roles been reversed?
Yes.
If that was a black man and a white woman's house, he would have got the death penalty.
Yes.
Well, in Illinois, we got rid of the death penalty. But he would have gotten life in prison.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Attorneys Ben Crump and Antonio Romanucci praised the conviction as a measure of justice for Sonia Massey, while urging a meaningful sentence that reflects the severity of these crimes and the life that was lost. They vowed to keep fighting for Sonia's family and for reforms to protect all citizens. Massey's father, James Wilburn, agreed, "There's a difference in this country when you have my skin color and Grayson's skin color," he said, demanding real accountability. Grayson's sentencing is set for January 29th, 2026. He faces 4 to 20 years in prison on the second-degree conviction, or potentially even probation. But no matter the outcome, the trial has already forced local leaders to act. More on that after a quick break. Sonia Massey's case hits so many raw nerves in our society. It's not just one shooting. It's a flashpoint on race, policing, and mental health. let's talk about some of the key issues it raises. One, hiring and training failures. Deputies are supposed to de-escalate, especially with someone in crisis. But in this case, the opposite happened. Investigations showed Deputy Grayson had a troubling history. He served on 6 different police or sheriff's departments since 2020. In May 2023, Sangamon County hired him despite clear red flags. Army records reveal he'd been discharged for misconduct, a DUI, in 2016, plus pleaded guilty to a second DUI. One former department had almost fired him for a reckless high-speed pursuit. In fact, Sonia's father angrily pointed out that the sheriff's office hired Grayson despite the serious blemishes on his record. This highlights a hiring breakdown. How did someone with so many warnings on his record end up as the first responder that night? And two, race and police violence. This shooting unfolded in a familiar pattern. A black civilian dies at the hands of a white officer. Sonia was a black woman killed in her own home after calling for help. This echoes other tragedies like Breonna Taylor and Tatiana Jefferson, also black women killed by police in domestic settings. At protests and vigils, speakers have linked Sonia's case to this broader Say Her Name movement. Sonia's death amplified calls for racial justice and for national reform of policing. Again. Three, mental health crisis response. By every account, Sonia was in a severe mental health crisis that night. Her family's frantic 911 calls and even her trip to a hospital the day before should have alerted authorities that she needed medical help, not deadly force. Yet the deputies on scene apparently lacked crisis intervention training. Instead of calm de-escalation, body cam footage shows a rapid escalation to violence. This is heartbreakingly common. Research shows that when police respond to mental health emergencies, fatal outcomes happen far too often. In fact, a national analysis found that in 2021, at least 104 people died in just such an encounter. Many advocates now argue we need alternative response teams for mental crises. Sonia's story illustrates that failure. Police were first on scene and a crisis turned to catastrophe. Each of these points is painful on its own. Together, they show why this case matters deeply. It's not just about one officer or one victim. It's a spotlight on how systemic issues like poor hiring, racial bias, and lack of mental health training can collide with tragic results. Sonia Massey's killing did not occur in a vacuum. It's part of a disturbing pattern of police violence, especially against Black Americans and those in crisis. Consider some broader context. Black women killed by police at home. Sonia is now one of several high-profile cases where Black women died in their own homes at the hands of police or deputies. For example, Breonna Taylor was shot in her apartment in Louisville, and Tatiana Jefferson was shot while babysitting in her Fort Worth home. Sonia joined their ranks. Organizers of the National Day of Mourning on July 28th noted that Sonia's name now joins Breonna Taylor and Tatiana Jefferson as a Black woman killed at home by law enforcement. Each of these cases has triggered protests and demands. No family should ever live in fear of a knock on their own door. Mental health and policing. Our society too often relies on armed police as first responders to mental health crises. But statistics show the mismatch is deadly. Studies have found that roughly 1/4 of all fatal police shootings involve individuals in a mental health crisis. Sonia's case typifies that tragedy. Had a trained crisis team or mental health professional been dispatched instead, perhaps Sonia would be alive today. Experts now say we need more robust crisis intervention teams and alternative responders. Then there's accountability and reform. Sonia's shooting reignited calls for national reform. Civil rights leaders and legislators pointed to her case when pushing for the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act and other measures. Locally, Sonia's death spurred the creation of the Massey Commission in Sangamon County to examine policies and recommend changes. And in courts and legislature, people invoked her case when demanding changes in policing hiring and oversight. In sum, Sonia's death resonates because it checks so many boxes: race, gender, mental health, police accountability. It reminds us of a litany of other victims whose names, from Breonna to Tatiana to countless others, we keep hearing over and over. It's a stark example of why activists say that Black lives matter and why folks across the country rallied in her memory. In the months following Sonia's death, events unfolded on several fronts. There was a civil case. Sonia's family sued Sangamon County, alleging wrongful death. In February 2025, they reached a $10 million settlement. The family's lawyers, including Ben Crump, had insisted the county answer for Sonia's killing and her suffering. The settlement sends the message that government entities will be held financially responsible. Then there's legislative changes. State lawmakers also responded. In May 2025, the Illinois legislature passed the Sonia Massey Bill, House Bill 1953. This law requires more thorough background checks on police applicants. Imagine that. To prevent someone like Grayson slipping through the cracks of multiple agencies. Its name in her honor meant to make sure no officer with serious unresolved issues like multiple DUIs evade scrutiny. Perhaps the most sweeping development was a federal civil rights investigation. In November 2024, the U.S. Justice Department announced a probe of the entire Sangamon County Sheriff's Office. The DOJ letter cited serious concerns about how deputies interact with Black people and those with disabilities or mental illness. It noted that even before July 6, dispatchers had been told Sonia was in crisis, raising questions about the emergency response system. The inquiry covers everything from hiring practices, the sheriff's office must submit 6 years of hiring records, to training or de-escalation and bias. The Sangamon County Sheriff's Department has agreed to make changes, bolstering de-escalation training involving mental health professionals in calls and tracking use of force data. There is also the Massey Commission. Locally, Sonia's case led to the formation of a Blue Ribbon Massey Commission. This citizen panel has held meetings and issued recommendations to improve transparency and community trust. Its co-chair, Joanne Johnson, has publicly urged all involved agencies from the sheriff's office to 911 dispatch to cooperate fully with the DOJ to understand what exactly happened before, during, and after Sonia Massey was killed. And finally, there's sentencing. This is where we return to the courtroom, where Deputy Sean Grayson remains in custody, having pleaded not guilty to his charges. After the second-degree murder conviction, the court set sentencing for January 29, 2026. On that day, Judge John Reynolds will decide Grayson's punishment. The range for second-degree murder in Illinois is 4 to 20 years, or potentially probation. Critics fear probation. I fear probation. You should fear probation. And as one family member put it, the justice system is not meant for us if Grayson is treated leniently. Yet legal analysts suggest he may receive a lighter term given lack of intent to kill and his illness claims. So what does justice look like? Sonia's family hopes for a meaningful sentence, something more than a slap on the wrist. Their attorneys stressed after the verdict that Sean Grayson is convicted of murder. He is a murderer now. Her mother, Donna, tearfully proclaimed she wanted Grayson held accountable. No matter what happens on January 29th, Sonia's shooting has already sparked reforms and kept the issues in the spotlight. Sonia Massey's story is wrenching. It's a mother who was crying for help and ended up dead, shot in her own kitchen. It's a community shaken, a family shattered. It's also a mirror held up to our society, showing painful cracks in how we handle race, mental health, and policing. But I tell you this story not just to mourn, but to mobilize. Sonia's legacy lives on in the change she inspired. The money, the law named after her, the DOJ inquiry, all of these outcomes of her tragedy. Yet none of that brings her back. So what can we do? We can keep the pressure on the system. We can watch the upcoming sentencing and ensure it's not brushed aside. We can follow the Massey Commission's recommendations and insist our local sheriffs and 911 centers implement them. We can demand that police departments hire responsibly and train officers to handle crises with compassion. We can support alternatives like mental health crisis teams. So the next time someone like Sonia calls for help, they get a counselor instead of an agitated, trigger-happy deputy with a loaded gun. Importantly, we must remember Sonia as a human being, not just a headline. She was a daughter, a sister, and a mother. And at the end of the day, she was our neighbor in pain. In her name, let us strive to build a world where calling 911 doesn't become a death sentence, especially for Black women and other vulnerable people. If her children are listening today, and any of Sonia's friends and family, we see you, we hear you, and we are with you in this fight. Thank you for listening with open hearts. Please share this episode, tell others about Sonia's story, and hold your leaders accountable. Only through collective action can we make sure tragedies like this never happen again. Please, be good people. Don't do murder. The In Between podcast is written, edited, and hosted by me, Mel Barrett, and is a production of Ruby Grace Productions. Special thanks to my mentors, Amber Hunt, Ellen Marsh, and Rebecca Lavoie, for their super smart guidance and support. If you want ad-free exclusive content, bonuses, and lives, head on over to the In Between podcast Patreon and sign up. The intern level starts at just $4, and there's already 75-plus ad-free episodes for you to binge right now. You can watch my new show, Something's Off with Rebecca Lavoie, over on YouTube at Something's Off Pod, or listen on Patreon. Episodes drop weekly on Fridays. Stay tuned after this episode for the trailer of Something's Off. Follow the In Between podcast on Blue Sky, Facebook, and YouTube at In Between Pod, and on Instagram at the In Between Pod Official. On TikTok, you can follow me at Jack of All Trades DC. Thanks for listening. You know, we dig into stories that don't sit right, the cases where justice feels incomplete. Well, I've got something new for you. Rebecca Lavoie from Crime Writers On and I are teaming up for a brand new show called Something's Off. Every week, we'll take on the cases that make you stop and say, wait, what? From current cases like the murder of Sandra Birchmore to the trial of Karen Reed to the Long Island serial killer and all the way back to the Menendez brothers, when the story doesn't add up, that's where we dig in.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
And I'm Mel Barrett, and this is Something's Off.
He still pressed her, and when he did, she was just like, come on. Like, that was her. It was just like, no, that's ridiculous.
It was exactly how one should respond when being challenged with something that either isn't true or is a distortion of the truth.
How much longer can this go on?
He said, how do you know there wasn't something under where his head landed? And she said, because I saw the photos.
She's not even telling the jury that he made a mistake.
So can we talk about this kind of like bombshelly thing that happened today?
Yeah, you want to talk about the x-rays?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a new tell today.
Where
and
he
it's
would repeat
hilarious.
Back the answer that they just said.
So the tell that I saw, he would ask her a yes or no question. Like he wanted a yes and she would go, no. And he would go, oh. he would just go, oh, you know, mathematical equations. How about the fact that he said there were no x-rays?
Correct.
He, too, is a liar. I mean,
either he was lying or Hank Brennan was lying. And Alan Jackson definitely intimated Hank Brennan has been lying to you. He said to her,
do you agree that a brain is very soft, consistent with, for example, tofu?
Oh, gross.
No. And then Bev said, I'll strike that. No comments.
Yeah.
Watch Something's Off with Mel Barrett and Rebecca Lavoie on YouTube and exclusively on Patreon starting mid-October. I'll leave you a link in the show notes.